get the old chimney sweeper. Make sure the chimney is clear. Time to get humming. Santa is coming. I love this time of the year.
Welcome to Molly and Pete Save Christmas.
We did it. We made it to Christmas.
Was there a chance that we weren't going to make it?
Well, yes, actually there was, because the new Hallmark Christmas movie debuted last week.
Yeah.
And every time I tried to talk
about it, I protested. I don't like, so Jill Wagner and like some creepy looking dude who's in a bunch of them were the people, and I just couldn't like, I couldn't do it. I don't know. There's something about her that is off-putting to me.
And I'm from the school, the Hallmark podcast
school.
Just suck
it up and watch.
Yeah, you just, whatever the new Hallmark movie is, you just watch that. You don't make excuses about the actresses.
It's like doing homework. You need to sit down right now and watch this movie.
Right, because you don't like the prince and princess one. So
no, yeah, I've got my rules. And the one that was, so then I was like, oh, maybe since we've got a week, we could watch the one that's, because we're recording this on Sunday, we could watch the new premiere on Saturday, but it's a Jodie Sweetin, and I don't watch any Full House actresses. So Jodie Sweetin's really, like, so Candace Cameron's been doing it for a while, and somehow, like, she talked Jodie Sweetin, like now I can bring Jodie Sweetin in to do these, and I can't put into words exactly what's off-putting about her to me, but she is, no, I don't enjoy her. And we watched like a couple minutes of it, and she had these really fake eyelashes, and so fake that my dad texted me about her eyelashes.
We should invite your dad in to review the Jodie Sweetin ones, because he was watching and he was texting you.
They look like they had taken like a Charlie Chaplin Halloween costume mustache and glued them onto her eyelashes. And then the guy that she's supposed to be her love interest, like, I did not buy them together at all. And I'm just like, no, I can't with this. And anyway, so when we get into the episode, we'll get into how we expanded our what we're going to watch this year a little bit.
And things are, you know, there's a new Dennis Leary miniseries that's Christmas related.
I don't think you say miniseries anymore. I think it's limited.
Oh, limited
series,
run,
right?
Limited run series, limited series.
Limited series.
We watched the Rob Lowe. Was it Christmas?
Yeah, it was a little bit. So we watched Holiday in the Wild, which is a new movie on Netflix that came out on Friday, and with Kristen Davis and Rob Lowe. So I guess I was fine with watching the old people thing. So we were looking up what the Netflix Christmas movies are and when they're coming out. And there's no Princess Switch this year. Next year, we get a new Princess Switch with Vanessa Hudgens is playing three roles. So they're adding in that she plays a party girl that looks like her as well. So looking forward to that in 2020. But she is in, Vanessa Hudgens is in another Christmas movie that's about like a knight or something.
Yeah.
Whatever. And then there was one, Christmas Prince. Is that what that series is? It's the third one. And I'm not, no.
No,
again,
not interested.
I don't like the princess ones. Even though Princess Switch, I'll make an exception. there's like an animated one. There was one about a radio DJ that loses his job at Christmas.
Yeah. Too real.
That's scary. But then there was this Holiday in the Wild with Rob Lowe and Kristen Davis from Sex and the City. And she plays like a lady who lunches in New York and ends up in Africa on a safari. And there's sad things with elephants, and then she finds like a calling to like work with elephants, and Rob Lowe is part of this, and Christmas is celebrated a little bit.
Yeah, I think I feel like we're duped.
The most Christmas movie part of it, though, is Rob Lowe's paintings, you know, like the bad art in Christmas movies. Yeah. So I mean I enjoyed it.
It's sweet.
It's pleasant, and stay for the painting, for the big painting reveal.
But so we'll get into the Hallmark Christmas movie in a few minutes.
But I know you're all dying to hear what's happened this week.
Do we have any running update? We don't have any running
updates. We're solidly in the off season. I think I only ran 26 miles this week, so feeling very lazy. Yeah. And the New York Marathon was this morning. Our friend Darren is running right now. We're tracking him right now. We watched the like elite coverage this morning. And then our good friend Tyler Cameron is running it as well. And so it was fun to watch it. The weather looked beautiful, and it really made me want to run that. that race. So that's the extent of the running that's gone on. We did, though, have some workout controversy this week. So the...
Or, you're embarrassed even trying to talk about it.
I'm like...
It's embarrassing.
Why are you making me talk about it?
So at Orange Theory Fitness, we completed a hell week, which is a week of classes that are specifically designed to be harder than a normal class.
Yeah.
And for the most part...
Yeah, sort of.
They were, yeah. There were some that were really hard and some that I felt were just like a regular class.
They just make you run around the studio and all you end up doing is just cleaning your equipment for 20% of class.
There's
so.
A lot of cleaning.
Yeah.
But one day, one of the things that we had to do was a 13-minute row.
Yes. It's been a lot of rowing.
Which is hard.
Yeah.
Which is a long time to just be on a rower.
Yeah.
Some classes did less because
there were three groups. Three groups.
So I think I did 3,300 meters. I can't really remember how many meters I did. So Orange Theory Illinois is a Instagram account that we follow, and they do a lot of reposting of people's when they mention, you know, their workouts and how well they did and what they're doing.
Like fun things at the studio.
Yeah. You get to see what people are doing. And so they reposted somebody who said that she did 4,200 meters in 9 minutes. And I was like, oh boy, that seems like a lot.
You saw it first.
I did see it first.
And you showed it to me. And you thought, like, this is amazing. Can you believe this person did this?
Because it was 1,000 meters more than I did.
Were you impressed or were you skeptical?
I was skeptical.
Okay.
I'm not a tremendous rower by any stretch of the imagination.
She didn't look like an Olympic athlete.
But it was 1,000 more meters than
she looked like just a regular
than
person.
I had done in 5 minutes less.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that seems like a lot.
Yeah.
And people were keeping track of how many meters people had rode in our class in the 13 minutes. And I feel like 4,000 around was like the highest.
It wasn't even that. Everything started with a three.
So, yeah. So there was some skepticism. But then that's when I drop it. I'm like, oh, that seems weird. But in our house, we can't have anybody fabricate.
We don't stand for cheating in this house.
And you were like so mad about it. And you're like, should I tell them? Should I like comment to Orange Theory Illinois that there's no way that this person did 4,200 meters? And I was like, no, why would you do that? Just let her have her thing.
I just feel like there should be some integrity in things. You know, you can't just, we all work really hard at this stuff. You can't just throw some numbers out and, you know, get kudos for it.
So there's a person that goes, that we see quite often in our class. His name is Sean. He's a tremendous rower.
Yeah.
Probably
yeah.
one of the best in
yes.
the studio.
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah.
You started asking him questions.
I texted him. And was like, what did you
is
row
this
today?
Like therapy saying this out loud?
No, it's embarrassing. Well, I mean, yeah, no, I didn't. I felt like, you know, Orange Theory Illinois should not be posting false results. But then more than that, I'm just like,
is it possible?
How is this even possible? I think was the main thing I had in mind. I didn't want to like get her in trouble or something. I just couldn't see. I'm just like, there is no way this is possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I sent him a message and he said that he had rode about 3,800 meters in the 13 minutes. And just knowing how like... you know, what an amazing rower he is. And that was 4 more minutes than her. I'm like, this can't be possible. So he and I are like messaging back and forth and he was looking up the, world record for rowing. And she would have like way beat the world record for rowing. And I even said to him, I'm like, this is so embarrassing that I'm even like doing this. And he was much more like quick to be like, I think she probably just like looked at the wrong numbers or whatever. But he was like, but yeah, I understand. I think people should be honest and things, you know, people should be held accountable for things or whatever. So I'm not fully crazy, but also like if you've reversed the numbers or whatever, it should have been 2,400, not 4,200. Orange Theory Illinois should have caught that before they posted it.
Why?
That number is ridiculous. It would be like if I posted like I ran a 3-minute mile in the mile challenge and they posted that. Like,
I think they just, whatever they're tagged, they just repost. They're not investigating times or anything.
But that is, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not like someone who said, like, they said that they rode 3,800, but really they only did 3,300 or something like that. Okay. But that number is so far beyond what's realistic. They should have. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if I said, like, oh my gosh, I ran like a 3:30 mile and
well, thankfully, class. Before you went to the authorities and alerted all sorts of Orange Theory sheriffs.
I'm the Orange Theory sheriff.
The person that posted this posted again saying, whoops, she made a mistake. Yeah. She inverted the numbers.
It should have been 2,400.
Which is still an amazing, that's a really good row.
That's, yeah, that's fine.
But it's believable.
I'm not gonna, that's fine.
So you were satisfied with the come clean by the girl?
I don't really, yeah, I guess so. I don't know what, I'm not satisfied by any of it. I'm embarrassed myself.
But no, I will say that I think it's admirable for you to hold people, because you hold yourself accountable. It's admirable to hold everybody else accountable too.
I feel like we all work really hard, and like, why are things just like, oh, whatever, da, da, mm-hmm. da, you know, like,
yeah.
Why are we spending time doing this if I don't even know the end of that sentence is, but if there's not some kind of standard.
I feel next week, maybe if there's some sort of run, I'm going to lie about it.
and test it
to see how I'll do a 3-minute. I finished this.
Or you could just like post like, oh my gosh, I got 63 splat points in class today, which would 60 would be the most you could possibly get, right?
Yeah. So
thinking that is crazier than anything that I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we had that, and then I'm in a fantasy football league, and it's weird because I don't know anybody in this fantasy football league. I don't know how I got involved with it.
Yeah, I was wondering that. How did you know one person?
I feel I knew one person.
Who's not even in it anymore?
They're at Joe Grady.
Oh, okay.
He's from back in my old radio show days.
Yeah.
He's a friendly guy. And I was looking for a new fantasy football outlet, and he came calling it just at the right time. So I signed up for his league. And so I've been in his league for a few years, but I don't know. I know him. Not really. I don't think I might have met him in person once, and a whole slew of other people that I don't know. And there's a lot of messaging back and forth, you're on your WhatsApp with your friends, where I have no idea what they're talking about because they're friendly with each other. And so I just stay out of it. So this week they had been messaging about getting together. Let's get together. Like, this would be fun. We'll watch like a football game or whatever. I just stayed out of it. I'm like, no, I'm not going to go with 9 or 10 strangers. I like doing my fantasy football, not knowing any of these people. I'm fine. So people were responding. And then finally, Joe says that, hey, besides me, a bunch of nicknames. There's a lot of weird nicknames involved. Who's in for the bro night on November 6th? And then he said, need at least 6. Otherwise, it's lame. So apparently you need 6 for a bro night to be
good. Bro night of 5 is lame. Bro night of 6 is awesome.
So I avoided.
Yeah, what happened with bro night?
I avoided all that. And then Joe, who knows me, and I think
when you sent me like a screenshot of this, and it made me laugh really hard, and I sent it, I posted it on my WhatsApp and said, like, if we ever feel bad about our WhatsApp thread, here's what another WhatsApp thread looks like. So there's always something worse.
But Joe, knowing that I'm the outsider, reached out to me personally.
Oh.
Not personally, it's in the same thread, but he wrote, Pete, FYI, we're planning on having a bro night at Tango Sur on November 6th, 7 p.m. Just some dudes getting together to dine on some steaks and enjoy some wine.
Oh my gosh, this is totally in your wheelhouse. Sounds like something you'd really be into.
So I'm like, oh, thanks. That's really nice.
Sounds so
like,
horrible.
Sounds like fun. Unfortunately, I work evenings.
Sounds like fun.
I don't when it gets to be three
this
dudes,
is when
I don't
you're
like
so
to,
happy that you have worked the hours you do. You got an out.
I don't want to be involved where there's more than three dudes.
Oh my gosh, what a horrible night. Also to be there sitting next to them. Ugh, all these white dudes eating steak.
I guarantee you one of those guys will be wearing a jersey too.
Oh yeah. Well, so update, my dad sent us a picture wearing a jersey today, wearing his Patrick Mahomes jersey today. Is Patrick Mahomes playing?
No, he's not playing.
And his my parents' dog sitting next to him, and I was like, well, the dog needs a jersey too. Like, he can't just have the jersey and the dog.
I guarantee you. I hope that he was... He's been searching for Patrick Mahomes.
So us berating him about the jersey hasn't dissuaded him from wearing the jersey. And I guess the other thing we can touch on really quick is that Halloween happened. We did as planned. We wore a costume. We took a picture. Mm-hmm. It seemed to go over well, and we were happy with how it turned out. We went to Simon's, and they did not have all the Halloween decorations. And we saw multiple people dressed as Midsummer.
Mm-hmm.
And we went home.
And we went as that one famous picture of Glenn Close and Woody Harrelson from like the early 90s where they were leaving a play together.
Yep.
But you tagged Woody Harrelson and Glenn Close on Instagram. And a lot of times what happens, and you mentioned this last week about how Beth Stern, somebody went as Howard and Beth Stern, and she reposted it. Nick Kroll, you know, famous comedian, mm-hmm. he posted a bunch of stories of everybody that dressed like some sort of... Hello character or something from Big, you know, person that has dressed up like him. So I was like, Glenn Close, this is the best thing that's happened to you. Why aren't you reposting our photo?
Well, she's busy posting her dog playing fetch.
Well, that's fine, but throw me a story.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that she didn't see it.
I know. I don't understand. Like people say, like when people say like, I don't get my DMs or whatever, I'm like, how? We both manage two Instagram accounts, and do you ever miss anything?
Yeah, sometimes if it's a DM, if they'll see the tag, somebody tagged you, but if it's a DM, you have to be following them, and it's in a weird, sometimes it doesn't come up or whatever, but yeah, I was a little bit, I was happy with our Halloween costume the way it turned out. I was disappointed that we didn't get Glenn Close
share.
And throw us a bone. So she's on my list. But you had a fine Halloween. I worked on Halloween.
Oh yeah, I left a bowl of candy with a note on our front porch, and I was still home for a few minutes. I'd put it out there, and then I was like inside putting my coat on, and I heard some kids walk up, and they heard him like read the note and like just take a couple pieces of candy, which was cute. But then when I came home, it was empty, of course, which is fine. I mean, that's fine.
Yeah, that's what you want.
So
you
I don't know what happened. The bowl was still there, like, you know, everything was untouched other than the candy was gone. So we kind of wish that we'd had a camera for that to see what kids
because there's that viral video of the person did the same thing where left a bowl out and then all the candy was gone, and then some kid saw that all the candy was gone and took a bunch of candy out of his own bag and filled up the trick-or-treating bowl.
It's so nice.
I was a little worried. I didn't think about this at the time. You were trick-or-treating with a bunch of our friends and their kids and such, so you were gone. But I was like, somebody could rob our house.
Because they know nobody's home.
Yeah, they know. You left a note saying, we're gone. we are not here.
Yeah.
And we won't be back for a while.
It'd be pretty hard to rob somebody's house on Halloween when there's so many people out.
But somebody could be dressed as a burglar, you know?
Oh, it's the perfect crime.
That's just a guy in a burglar costume. But it's a real burglar.
It was really cold and snowy, and I met up with some friends whose kids were trick-or-treating, and we live in a neighborhood where there's a couple of good blocks where people really go all out, but it's also very competitive within the city of Chicago where people are like, actually, my neighborhood is better than that, I feel. Whatever. Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to... I'd never, like, seen that. And now I have, and, you know, that's fine. But I got invited to multiple people's houses where they fed me vegan chili. So I was like, you know that classic Andy Griffith episode where he eats spaghetti at different houses? Am I the only person that knows this?
I know you're a big Andy Griffith fan.
Or, like, on Gilmore Girls, the Thanksgiving where they, like, have to do multiple Thanksgivings. Yeah. That's what I felt like.
All right, so
now we're fully in Christmas mode. Yesterday we went to Beguile released their Christmas ale. We went there and it was full of dogs.
Yeah, a lot of dogs.
And that has become the place that you can be inside with a dog.
There's a lot of dogs and our friend Tina Svandelis.
Yes.
We ran into.
And we went to Foresighted. They have all their holiday decorations out, and we bought some ornaments, which is a tradition as well. So we are in Christmas.
We're
now
entrenched.
Yeah.
In Christmas.
So when we were trying to figure out what movie to watch, I was like, no, we gotta just go classic Hallmark. And then, I said, like, well, I didn't want to watch those. So I was looking at what else came out. On Friday, the Movies and Mysteries, or Mysteries and Murder, or whatever that channel is. But the biggest revelation was that we discovered there's a third Hallmark channel now, Hallmark Drama. There's another Hallmark channel that has popped up. It's channel 1406 on our cable.
1406? I didn't know that we go up that far. So what's the difference between drama and regular Hallmark?
It looks more serious. I don't know.
The ones that we watch are not comedies by any stretch of the imagination.
There's a lightheartedness to them.
I guess.
And I do feel like maybe there's a different tone between regular Hallmark and Mysteries and Movies
Murder.
And Mysteries. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of concerned. I'm like, oh, is this going to be too, like, serious or sad or something? But when I was doing my research on the movie, it was originally supposed to air on the regular Hallmark, and then they moved it here, which then I was like, is it a lesser movie because of that? Anyway, whatever. It seemed pretty standard.
Yeah. When I was watching it, I was yelling to myself, where's the mystery? If it turns out there is a
mystery. There was a little bit of mystery.
There is a mystery.
And maybe
involved.
It was a little bit more, it's a lot about grief. And so maybe it was a little bit more, the tone was maybe a little bit more serious and a little less like, ding dong, like sometimes they're like that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, the movie was called Two Turtle Doves.
Yes.
And I put in parentheses, the one where people are dead and everyone is sad. That should be the subtitle.
There are a lot of dead people and a lot of sad people.
So we watched the Hallmark Movies and Mysteries, and that's the one we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
And somebody asked on Instagram if we should announce what the next one will be so they could prepare.
That means we have to figure it out. What are we going to watch next?
I don't know. I feel you have to choose because you have all your rules.
Okay, let's leave
whatnot.
A space right here, and then we can, like, before you release this, we can come in and say, we are watching. Maybe we'll just post it on our, like, each of our Facebook pages. Oh, if that, like, requires effort. Beginning next week, we'll try to figure out what we're going to watch.
But I feel like that was a really good question and recommendation that I feel like we should do. We should alert people to the one that we're watching if they do want to follow along. We'll figure it out.
It won't be the Jodie Sweetin one that was on last night. I can tell you that much. So Two Turtle Doves, starring a couple of our faves, Nikki DeLoach, who we know from Christmastown, of course, and some others as well, but Christmastown most notably. And Michael Ratty, who was in Christmas at Pemberley Manor last year. And both of them we know from other TV shows, but this is their second Hallmark movie together. They did one, I don't know why we didn't watch this, was just a regular one, non-seasonal one, called Something About Love to the Rescue, maybe is what it's called. And it's about how they have a rescue dog that they share custody of. Yeah.
Huh.
So I enjoy both of them. Now, Nikki DeLoach, we know from Christmastown. This was Christmastown again, right? There was so much Christmastown in this movie. Her grandmother had died. She goes back to, like, the house that she's inherited, decorates for Christmas. There's no creepy, like, caretaker, but the lawyers who she has, like, the love interest with. And she doesn't just save the town, but it was a little
very
too similar.
But they're all kind of similar.
But that's really similar.
It was, the big city is bad.
Yeah.
And the small town
is
great.
Yeah. And she has to give up it's like the whole time she's deciding if she has to give up her dreams to move back to the small town that, is supposed to be so, like, charming and appealing, but I never get that feeling that there's any benefit to living there.
No.
And just, like, nosy people who own the bakery. Like, I never understand why they, like, are so drawn to moving back to these places.
So Cher Bear is her name in the movie. She plays some sort of scientist.
That does a lot of, like, TEDx kind of talks about grief.
And
there's a lot of views.
One of the many deaths.
She's a neuroscientist.
Oh, yeah, neuroscientist. Yeah. One of the many deaths is that her grandma dies, and she goes back to her hometown, Pine Bluff, or Pine.
They say it like once.
Pine. Something. I wrote it down somewhere. Pine.
It was like
something.
Late, and they never said what city she was in. I guess she was in New York, and then they never said what the small town was.
Pine Springs.
Oh, yeah.
And she has to go back to kind of settle her grandmother's estate.
And her grandmother had raised her.
Because her mom
had died.
Or death.
Yeah, where was her dad? I don't know. I know her mom had died. But the first scene, though, is her, like, walking down the Harriedly walking down harried and hurried walking down the street carrying once again gift bags used as shopping bags and lots of them with nothing in them.
40 of them. Yeah.
So, all right, here we go. We know what we're dealing with.
She has to go back to handle her grandmother's estate.
I feel like she hadn't been there in 40 years.
And she has to, the grandmother gave her an assignment, whether to keep the house. Like, I didn't understand why.
I was like, I was getting really bored during this part. So, Michael Ratty plays the grandmother's next door neighbor, who's also an estate attorney and was her estate attorney. And, you know,
whose wife died.
And, like, she loved this Grandma Vera, which was an unfortunate name, I feel. It's just like, it doesn't have, I don't know, that this, what she was like a therapist. She seemed a very accomplished herself.
Model,
Grandma Vera doesn't sound like, like that. And her cousin lived there, too, with her husband. And the cousin is very pregnant. And the cousin is also very old, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't, that character just kind of slipped in and out a little bit.
Yeah, meaningless.
Yeah. But it seemed like when everyone was greeting her, like, you know, these women in town were greeting her, like the people who owned the bakery or whatever. It felt like if she loved this family so much, it felt like she hadn't been, she hadn't been there in
a long time.
Since she was a little kid. And that she didn't really know the neighbor who was so close to the grandmother.
Yeah, she mentions that she didn't really know.
So maybe she's just been busy and she's just kind of hopped in and out, I guess. But yeah, like the ladies who greet her in town are like showing her pictures of, they're like, we hear you're not married. And, you know, like, what about my Jonathan? And they all know that she's up for this big, it's like a MacArthur Fellowship grant thing, but it's called like the Macmillan or something like that. Grant.
McAdams.
Oh, McAdams. Yeah.
She gets back in town and she comes into the house for the first time and she was like nervous about it because this is like, you know, she's going to the house the first time since, you know, her grandma had passed away. But all the Christmas decorations were out.
Yeah.
So
who did that?
So did the grandma die while putting up Christmas decorations?
The grandmother died in January, so maybe she got sick earlier
in December.
And just left the Christmas decorations?
Because all the boxes of Christmas decorations were out.
Yeah.
I was like,
maybe the neighbors did it.
I don't know. But they were already prepared to have her come in and put up all the Christmas decorations. It's also weird. Like, okay, you're going to come take care of your grandma's estate. She's dead, but you're also going to put Christmas decorations at her house.
Yeah. Yes. Why? Yeah. Just stay with your cousin. Why are you? Yeah. Just, I don't know. Yes. Yeah. Again. There was also, I felt like there was, this is maybe regular Hallmark is this way too. I didn't notice, but there was a lot of stuff on the screen the whole time. Did you notice that? Like, at the bottom, it says the miracles of Christmas, like this big red, it's interesting you didn't see it because it drove me crazy the whole movie. It was like this big red ornament ball, like ball thing that said the miracles of Christmas with like what the
the new actors. Yeah, I guess I did.
And then there was also like the big Hallmark thing, and that, like, I would say the quarter of the screen was graphics
of a promotion.
Maybe because you watch like ESPN and all that, and it has
I'm
that
used to the crawl. There's always a
there's a Hallmark movie crawl. they're half a step away from that. So yeah, so she meets with
Sam Taylor,
yeah, Michael Ratty, about the estate, and he gives her these like diaries that the grandmother had written in that were detailing their 12 family Christmas traditions. And the grandmother says, okay, here's the deal. I want you to do all 12 of these things this year, and then you can decide what you want to do with the house. I'm like, she's not there. Like, why can't she just decide what to do with the house? Why does she have to do these things? What's holding her to this?
Yeah.
So she was
given an assignment to do 12 things, and then if she completes them, she gets the house.
Yeah. And so they play, he pulls out like this recording that he had made of her on his phone, and of course she's like, oh, I don't know how these things work. Yeah. The grandma, like the recording of the grandma. And then suddenly, like halfway through the movie, the grandmother's voice comes over.
Yeah, like how long was this recording? Yeah, how long were you recording her? Where did this come from? Was this part of the recording?
Through.
A different recording?
So Sam's wife has died, and he has a daughter who's how old is she? 10,
I think. Yeah. Michaela is a dim-witted brother.
Yeah, when did, this is another thing. Like, there's just a brother who, yeah, like, where did he come from? We get no explanation of his story. He's just there helping,
Sam raise the family while his wife died.
let me just interject too by saying that my dad was texting me about the Jodie Sweetin movie. You know, he said, like, I never really watched Full House. I just remember the America's Funniest Home Videos guy and Uncle Joey. So this Alex was the Uncle Joey of this movie.
So she gets the assignments, and they're lame traditions.
Yeah.
One of them is just drink hot cocoa. Like, ooh.
Oh, this family. Only our family does this. Yeah.
Watch a Christmas movie with fuzzy slippers.
Which they really missed it there. Like, you know, like, just go totally. It's like what Princess Switch did. Just go totally meta and don't. They watch It's a Wonderful Life. Don't do that. Watch like a Hallmark type Christmas movie marathon. Right,
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a marathon, and they only watched like half of It's Wonderful Life.
Yeah, they all fell asleep during the movie.
My favorite thing about Sam, the attorney, is that he said he doesn't believe in naps, which I also don't believe in naps.
And I guess I don't believe in naps either. Like, I would never, it's 2 o'clock. I would retire to bed for an hour.
Yeah.
But there's been plenty of times where I'm watching a game or something on a Saturday afternoon, and next thing I know, it's 45 minutes later.
Well, I've been instructed that you can nap appropriately. There's certain time. You either have to do like under 15 minutes or over 90 minutes or something like that. And that was like when my doctor said, you don't seem like you seem like an under 15 minute kind of person. I was like, what does that mean? But I don't like just, I don't like willy nilly naps. Like, that makes me feel gross. Anyway, whatever. We don't have to talk about this image, but I enjoyed that Sam doesn't approve of naps.
Yeah. So she has the assignment to do all the things. And then she has to decorate the house.
Mm-hmm. I wrote down the traditions and the journals are boring. So they're decorating. They go and get like a tree together with, it's like, so she's teaming up with Sam's brother and Sam's daughter. What was Sam's daughter's name?
Michaela.
Oh, Michaela. Yeah. And they go and get a tree. And that's when he says he didn't believe in naps. And then they're decorating the tree.
All trees, $15.
And that's amazing. They got a huge tree.
A 40-foot tree. $15.
That's small town living right there.
I don't think even in a small town you can get a tree for $15.
Hallmark's a bit out of touch with reality. And so they're like putting the ornaments, and then she's got this like ugly like mantle thing with hooks. Mm-hmm. It's so ugly, right?
Yeah.
And all the decorations are really tacky. It's all like curling ribbon, that like shiny plasticky ribbon, like big. She's like wrapped around everything, like the big curling ribbon kind of, not real ribbon, like whatever that kind of plasticky ribbon is, wrapped around everything, and it's colored light.
Yeah.
It's so tacky, and everything's artificial, which I'm used to that with Hallmark movies because they're not filming them in December. They're filming them in July or May or whatever, but that curling ribbon with like balls attached to it hanging from like the doorways, and there's this whole boring story with the ornaments about some great grandfather had like, I don't know, I was super, yeah, I was starting to take a nap during this.
I think I wrote some dumb story about the ornaments. real quick, so she's in New York and she, you know, she's up for this job, and then, you know, they show the, you know, the tree lined 2-lane highway, she must be going to her little small town.
Right.
And then I always think like, oh, then when she gets to the small town, it's going to be magical. She arrives in Pine Springs and it's not magical at all.
No.
Like all the houses have like one ribbon on them. It was like, not like what I'd expect. I was like, oh, this is magical. But
I always get a feeling too in these towns that they've like the set or whatever that they use, that like there's a little downtown area where they have like the tree lighting and the small businesses, and then the houses are like far. They don't look integrated into it. Do you feel that?
Yeah, right.
Too?
Yeah.
It feels like they're kind of out in the country.
Yeah.
And
they drive to this little downtown.
Yeah, it needs to feel, I don't know, they need to integrate things more. So these ornaments that blah, blah, some old great-great-grandfather had made for somebody, blah, 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 I don't know, we're in this box, and there's two missing. One is that the partridge in a pear tree was never made. Did he die before
rush.
He made it?
Yeah,
I
maybe die.
Two turtle doves were missing.
Okay, yeah.
And the
yeah.
story was that the person who finds or sees the two turtle doves or holds the two turtle doves, something will fall in love. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something. So.
Yeah.
So the, oh no, we're supposed to care that the two turtle doves are missing.
But that's when I was like, voila.
The mystery.
Here is the mystery. We have a missing ornament.
So she's going around town trying to find this ornament. So there's just like one of the common themes about this is that she does everything alone. She mm-hmm. doesn't need help from anybody and she's capable to do it herself. And so Sam keeps calling her out on like, you don't have to do this alone. I can help you. Somebody can help you, whatever. That's so we see her now in her front yard putting up this Santa decoration. And she goes through various stages of coat being openness.
Yeah.
So there's snow, you know, there's fake snow. On the, and she's brought 10 different coats with her. Another Hallmark movie thing where they wear a different coat every scene. But here she's just wearing a sweater. Like she's outside and she doesn't even have her coat on. So we go from no coat, coat open, different coat with scarf closed. So she's struggling to put, it's like this sleigh, and then it's like this big Santa that's not like seated. He's like standing up,
which
doesn't
I thought
work
was
with
weird.
The sleigh.
Yeah.
And she's like struggling to put it in, and he's going to help her. What he helps her with is picking up these like reindeer decorations, and they act like they look really light. Like they look like they're foam.
Yeah, they're like just the like a department. Cardboard reindeer.
Yeah. And they like together pick him up like, it's so fake.
Yeah, the amount of exertion they use to pick up these, they had to
it's
be
the
like
most acting
pounds.
In the whole yeah. movie goes into that. Sharon says, "Why is my grandmother making me do this?" And I'm like, "Yeah, why are you doing this? She's not like she's dead. She's not making you do this." And then Sam says, "Because she loved you."
Last one.
I don't understand why anyone who doesn't have kids would want to do this.
I would be inside by the fire, reveling in the joys of adulting.
Well, it's because I'm not doing it for me either. I'm trying to remember her. Oh, why is this so hard? Why is she making me do this?
Because she loved you.
I will say, too, one of the things that I've noticed about this one, there were the mayor of Pine Springs is an Asian woman.
The cast outside of the people who are allowed to speak are very is very diverse.
Yeah.
So it's like Hallmark, like there's a mixed race couple that
right.
Nick and Ethel that get talked about a lot and we never see them. It's like are a mixed race couple, the women who greet her in town, you get a variety of races and the mayor is Asian. So Hallmark is making an effort. It's just like not with the leads.
No,
or the any people right around the leads. Good job, Hallmark, sort of. A little bit. Well, there's ornaments on the tree. This is something that always bothers me in these movies, that when you go to like the big town tree or whatever, there's like small ornaments hanging on it. And that's not a thing. Like big town trees have
big ornaments.
Lights. And if they have ornaments, they're like big balls, like big whatever. They're to the scale of that tree.
Like
you don't have just like
the downtown Christmas tree in Chicago is not going to have the same ornament that we put on our tree.
Yeah. I don't understand why this is a thing in these movies. That doesn't exist in real life.
And we established that they're missing the two turtle doves ornament, and the goal is to find where the missing ornament is, because the ornaments correspond with the.
She's like putting up an ornament for everything she crosses off the list.
Off the assignment.
Yeah, because they do. She's like, the whatever the things are correspond to. This maids of milking corresponds to baking cookies. Or
right,
something like
Anyway,
if that makes sense.
Yeah. I think that's what that was exactly the one.
I was paying attention. So they're at the tree lighting, and I always feel like these tree lightings are super late. Like, tree lightings happen before Thanksgiving, usually.
Yeah.
Like, this tree lighting's happening on, like, December 22nd.
Yeah. Everything always happens the 2 days before Christmas.
Another thing that's on her list is that she has to make cookies. So she goes with Michaela to the bakery, and they bake cookies. And Michael Ratty shows up, and they're kind of like, they talk, and she finds out that he actually had lived in New York and moved move to this small town so that his daughter could have a yard, and his wife was an artist and she wanted to open a store or something, and she couldn't do that in New York. You can't be an artist in New York. You have to move to like this small town to do it, which I mean actually maybe is a thing, but
also I think you mentioned something about how, you know, you can celebrate Christmas properly there. There is no better place than New York City to celebrate Christmas. It's magical in New York City for Christmas.
They go to pick up some pizzas for dinner, and they get everything for free too. Did you notice that? Like every place they go,
everybody's
like
excited that Share Bear is back in town.
They get everything for free. How did the pizza look to you?
I think it looked okay.
It did. It kind of looked Domino's-ish.
Yeah. My standards for pizza look are, I think they all look good. We'll like see a commercial for you know, Pizza Hut, and I'm like, ooh, that looks really good. Yeah. And you're like,
we'll be watching something, I don't know how this could be, but a movie where somebody has died but there's pizza and it's like sad and whatever, and then you're like, oh, that pizza looks good.
Yeah. Right. So I felt it looked fine.
I feel like that would have stand.
I mean, I definitely noticed it, but I didn't. I was like, I'm not too particular about that kind of thing.
I also feel like Michaela is kind of taking advantage of this whole Vera thing. To like, she wants to eat so she can eat more cookies and like do things that she wants to do.
10-year-old.
Like, Vera said, like, Vera always let me do this. we got another note from my dad about he was watching this one, and he was annoyed that when they, I feel like this is always the case, when they were talking on their cell phones, the cell phones were dark, like they weren't actually being used. So Sharon calls her boss at the university or whatever, and she's talking on the phone, and you can tell like the cell phone's not even like turned on so
it's always problematic. I feel like you fix that.
Happens. Yeah, I mean, I think that like is beyond, even that shows up in other TV shows too, and I don't know why that still exists. It feels like that could be fixed. They're at Sam's house, and so Sam and Michaela are still dealing with their own grief with like his wife dying, and Michaela like is proud of the traditions that she had with her mom, but it's all like kind of sad for her too, because it will just make her remember that. And so they talk about like, okay, instead of us being sad about that, again, this is another time I was kind of like bored. There was some justification for like, let's make new traditions.
Yeah.
But Vera had something to do with that as well. So the new tradition they're going to do is make a wreath. And is this a thing? This is a thing that happens in Hallmark movies where people make wreaths. Do people really make wreaths?
I think
they do. Is that a common holiday tradition?
I always feel that's a difficult challenge, I think, to make a wreath.
They just show the end result. They don't show them actually doing it. And it looks great. But I don't know of anyone that makes their own wreaths.
And I feel in other ones where they have, you know, they have like a wreath contest or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like the wreaths are already made. They just have to decorate them. This one was like make a wreath.
Yeah, from
sticks.
A scratch. Yeah. Remember the one last year where the girl gives up her like amazing job to be a wreath maker? Do you remember that one? And she sells them at like, there's like a Chris Kendall market, and she's like sells out of her wreaths.
Yeah.
After like the wreath is when they have the movie marathon. Or whatever, and she finds out then, and like when she falls asleep during watching It's a Wonderful Life, she's like on Sam's shoulder or whatever. So okay, we're, you know, whatever, they're getting closer. Then she finds out that her interview has been moved up.
It was originally scheduled for the 30th of December, so after Christmas, and then it moved up to the 22nd or something.
Yeah So she's gonna have to go to New York. She needs to cross ice skating off of her list, so she goes to Sam and asks if Michaela can go ice skating, and he said like, oh, she has a sleepover, but you know, like, we could go to dinner first. So they go to dinner, they go ice skating, they fall down, haha.
Do you remember what the restaurant was called?
No.
Chez Noël. they had the dinner at Chez Noël, and she asked him, like, so do you bring all your girlfriends to Chez Noël? And that's when he admits that he's ready to start dating again.
Yeah, but then they like almost kiss, but then he doesn't because he feels like
she's gonna leave.
Yeah, and he's, whatever, this is all like new to him to get back into dating. And I wrote down, why does she like Pine Springs and him? Like, I mean, he's like cute, but really, like, he's just kind of a sad sack. Like, well, I don't get the draw of either thing.
I mean, it's just the appeal of, you know, going back to the small town where things are easier and He seemed nice. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, but I don't know. I didn't feel like there was anything like you leave your whole life for him.
You get a new dim-witted brother-in-law if you stay.
The brother looks like Cameron Boyce. You know that actor who passed away?
Yeah.
That's that he has that kind of, you know, that sort of like little button nose freckle, that kid look. Yeah. So the next day is when she has to go to New York for her interview. And I just felt like the stakes always felt to me like kind of low. I'm like, why can't you just do both? Like, I just feel like if you're going to get this like $500,000 grant and you're this town is not that far from New York, why can't you just do both?
I don't think they would say, oh, here is this money for this fellowship or whatever. But you have to live in Manhattan.
No, they said you could do whatever you wanted with it. So
yeah, same. I thought if she really loves this guy and loves this town, she could do her research there.
And she said, maybe I'll wait to sell the house. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, that house is... I'm guessing that house is probably paid off if she had lived in it for 40 plus years. And so, yeah, you can take a few months and figure this out. You don't have to decide right as soon as you finish drinking that hot chocolate. You have to decide. So I never really felt like I didn't have any like suspense. Like, oh my gosh, what's she gonna do here? So she goes to New York for the interview panel.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on the interview panel?
Well, the first scene is they show her. They're watching a video of her.
It's her like TED Talk.
Yeah.
Thing.
And I was like, so her interview had
16 million views or something like that.
Her interview just includes them watching a video. Why does she have to be there for the video? The video portion shouldn't that have been looked at before the interview portion?
The hairdos on the interviewers are bizarre. Like they all look like they had Donald Trump wigs on, just like plopped on top of their heads. And so she makes an interview all about like what she's learned going back home and about grief. And I never really understood what her like what she did what or what
her,
she was
her study
do. It was, like,
is going to be
revolutionary though. And yeah, so whatever. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. We check back in with Sam and Alex.
Alex, the brother.
The brother. And Alex says to Sam, I can't even remember why, but he says, dude, you have like zero chill. It's like his only line.
I think that was his only line. He does a lot of looking, eyebrow raising, but yeah, they did finally give him a line towards the end.
So yeah, she got the fellowship, and
it seems like that's a quick decision.
Yeah,
shouldn't they do the presentation and then decide amongst all the other
nominees? Yeah, wouldn't there be other people? Yeah, I thought the same thing. And her big thing she's going to do is write a book. Oh my gosh. She's going to change the way people think. She's going to change the way that everyone thinks about grief by telling other people's stories about grief. I'm like, oh my gosh, no one has ever had that thought before. The writers of this one really didn't invest a lot into figuring out like what she actually does. But yeah, back with like Sam and Michaela and that crew, they're going through the last boxes of his wife's last boxes that were in the basement that they just had like not they hadn't touched. So they're going to go through them, decide what they're going to keep, what they're going to get rid of, and try to like, you know, still like honor her, but move forward. And in one box, they're like, what is in this? And he's like, I don't know. And it's a wooden box. And when they open it, it's a note from Vera to the dead wife,
Jenny,
about how, anyway, she had commissioned Jenny to make the partridge ornament because she was an artist and had given her the two turtle doves ornament to use as like an example then of the style.
But then Jenny died.
Before she
was able to
give them to Vera. Somebody died. Vera died or Jenny died. Somehow somebody died and wasn't able to like finish this. So the end of the movie is that Michaela is like singing with this precocious choir. Oh gosh.
Kids pageant. There always seems to be a kids pageant at these things.
They're dressed as like in front of like a nativity scene. They're dressed as angels, and Sharon gets back in time to see the end of it, and then they show her the ornament, and then they really kiss and the end. Right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. No, that's exactly how it ended.
All right, so now you said after we watched this that you were really in the Christmas spirit.
I was. I felt you were too, because we did a lot of Christmas things after we watched this movie, and then you kept on talking about more Christmas things. I'm like, Lovey, it's November 2nd. We can't do all these things right now. Like, you asked if somebody had their decorations up. I'm like, no, it's still Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving hasn't happened yet. So, yeah, thanks for listening. And we don't know which one we're going to watch, but...
Watch all of them, just in case.
We don't know if it's going to be the movie. So... It may be Movies and Mysteries. It may be regular Hallmark.
Maybe we should do Nine Lives of Christmas, which is one of our favorites that we haven't done yet, and we watched part of it the other night.
So
we'll alternate new and old.
Classic, yeah.
Then. So just do... You watch Nine Lives of Christmas if you haven't yet, even if we don't talk about it, because it's great.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
I love you, dude. But you have, like, zero chill.
Is that going so slow, slow, slow. Just down below me is the old sea. Just down below.